So one of the things I'm going to gradually let you know about me is how scattered I am. Can't do the same thing too often, otherwise I get bored. So I got to break it up, throw you something different. So I got all these old books that I want to share with you, and I got a different one to kind of make you aware of today, and we'll pick at this sometimes. Nice thing about this old book is that it's been brought back, and it looks really new. My copy I have in front of me was just published, I believe, in the last year and a half by Concordia Publishing House. It's called The Church and the Office of the Ministry by C.F.W. Walther. Walther, you hopefully know, was one of the founding pastors of the Missouri Synod, these pilgrims that came over here and had to kind of figure out how to be Lutherans in America, ended up being a very prolific scholar and writer. And this book is about, well, how does the church look when you're no longer a state church, right? How do we organize now that we don't have these official state subsidies and everything all over us? What really makes us church? And this particular edition that just came out was edited by and translated by our current president, Matthew Harrison, because I think because he believes it's valuable, right? And spent some time looking at it. And so it's really out there as a study edition for even you, you know, you're capable of this, whether you believe it or not, of reading through and learning why the Missouri Synod takes some of the stands that it takes. And it's not just based on what Walther thought, right? The nice thing about this is Walther is going to found all of this on Scripture. We're not going to go very far here. Remember how I said with Chemnitz the other day that though the old style of writing is they write theses, right? Statements. True fact that I will then defend, right? And then they would go back and forth on this. So we're going to have a series of theses. And all I want to do today is just kind of give you a thesis number one, the first important idea about being church in the words of C.F.W. Walther. And then there's a nice little note, an editor's note, which is not part of Walther's text, but it's by the editor of the book, who happens to be our current president. So from the first president of the Missouri Synod and then the current president of the Missouri Synod, what is the main thing, the first thing you need to know about being church? The church, Walther says, in the proper sense, is the congregation of the saints. That is, the entirety of all those who, called out of the lost and condemned human race by the Holy Spirit through the Word, truly believe in Christ, and by faith are sanctified and incorporated in Christ. Now, the editor notes this. The gospel entails the doctrine of the church. The rediscovery of the gospel at the time of the Reformation meant a complete rethinking of the nature and essence of the church. The presence of the church, according to the New Testament, the Lutherans assert, is not guaranteed by an alleged apostolic succession of bishops, an episcopal see in Rome, or a priesthood equipped by an indelible mark given by ordination by which a man is empowered to perform the Mass. Nor are those who do not believe in Christ, though they may have been baptized or may have received the sacrament, truly members of Christ's body. The church is hidden. Though it is no Platonic city that exists only in someone's mind and that cannot be located, the church is found where Christ and his word are found. The church is a holy Christian people. Those who are called, gathered, and enlightened by Christ's word of free grace and who truly believe are one with Christ and are the church. Walther has been criticized for beginning his treatment of the church with believers instead of with Christ and the means of grace, but we see in his proof text that he begins in a completely Christocentric way. Christ is the head, Ephesians 1. Christ the cleanser and sanctifier of his body, the church, Ephesians 5. The church sanctified as the temple of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3. The church built by Christ upon his word, Matthew 16. Christ, through his sacrificial death, gathers the children into one, John 11. There is enormous comfort in this teaching that all those who trust in the merits of Christ's cross are members of the church and no one else. It allows us to confess with gusto that Orthodox Lutheranism is by no means the soul saving instrument of God. It allows us gladly and joyously to recognize that there are true believers in Jesus, members of the church, where only enough of his word and sacrament are available to create faith. The unity of the church does not depend upon us, but upon Christ and his gifts. It's well said there by the editor to this work of Church Life by C.F.W. Walther, The Church and the Office of the Ministry. Sometimes we Lutherans get a bad rap. Everyone says, you Lutherans think you're the only Christians. No, we don't. We just believe that the Bible has said certain things, and we're going to hold to those until you convince us otherwise. And we're going to tell you that the lies are dangerous and they can lead us astray and that you may be being led astray. But that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian until you curse Christ. You're not a Christian until you cease believing in the Trinity. You're not a Christian until you stand at the gates of Judgment Day and say, judge me by my works. Right? Once you're there, yeah, you got issues. But the beauty of the church is that wherever the Word of God is, wherever the sacraments are, we can know the Spirit is still working there to create faith, to regenerate hearts, to bring us all into that one beautiful truth, which is that Jesus is our Savior. That is the heart and life of the church. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, the good news about being church, what Jesus did for you. Back for the daily New Testament reading leading into our study at 8 o'clock in just a moment.